Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a review of Disney Plus's Elephant with the headline, Elephant You'll Never Forget.
Wait, I want to hear the clip. I don't want to hear the review.
It's not out yet.
What do you mean?
I'll have to add a clip in post. It doesn't come out until Friday. Today is Thursday. Oh. As you're listening to the episode, you can just hop on over to Disney Plus and watch Elephant starring Duchess of Sussex, Meghan. But currently, as we're recording, we don't have the clip, so I'm reading a thing and then I might work in a clip.
Okay, fine. The magic of the movie magic.
Feel like re-editing this at midnight? We'll see. Catch me at midnight. Although, what else am I doing?
You could like, sure, you could prepare yourself to really just slide in that clip.
I could. But then you have to upload it and then put the ad breaks in.
Will he do it? And you'll know because you're listening to it. And will there be a clip at right now? What if there's just no clip?
Look, I'm awake. It's 12:05 a.m. An elephant is not there. I've searched. I've logged out. I've logged back in. It's not there. Oh, now it's telling me new to Disney Plus, the last song. No, I want the elephant. And I'm not going to keep waiting until 3 a.m. Pacific time or whatever. It's not there, and I tried, and this is the best you're going to get from me because I need to go to sleep.
Amazing.
Okay, so if there was a clip there, great job, self. You did a good job. You got up at
midnight. If not, I'm really disappointed in you, honestly.
We're still listening to this.
Okay.
This is a decidedly Disney-fied production, from the soundtrack strongly reminiscent of music from The Lion King, to the filmmakers assigning names to the three lead elephant characters, to the narration from one Meghan Markle, the actress, parentheses, Suits, who has returned to work after a hiatus from showbiz in which she married some fellow named Harry and lived in England. For elephants, family is everything, says Markle, sounding for all the world like a preschool teacher reading to her class. Anyway, apparently Elephant is good. Currently, I haven't watched it, but again, maybe at midnight I will have watched it.
I mean, how could it be bad? It's elephants pooping and living and babies. Loving and moving with the voice of Meghan Markle. How much could she screw up a good nature documentary or a decent nature documentary, right? She's not going to take it to that next level. But she isn't going to destroy it, you know?
No. How could she?
Yeah.
She's a professional.
Yes, she is.
I just love that it says narrated by Meghan.
It's so amazing that she's just Meghan. Because I don't necessarily think she's at that level yet, though. I
think she is.
Really?
I think she is.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like if you said Meghan to me, I wouldn't necessarily say.
Yes, you would.
No, I yes, don't you know. Would. I don't Name know another if I Meghan. Would.
Malali? Who are you going to say, Malali? Yeah, if I said, oh, did you see the news about Meghan? You would be like, which Meghan? Bullshit. You would never say which Meghan.
Well, I know because if you were telling me the news, I would know you were talking about Meghan Markle. But maybe you would be talking about Megan Fox, or you were telling me about Megan Rapinoe, or you were telling me about Meghan Barton Hansen. Maybe you were telling me about Meghan Hilty or Meg Tilly.
Okay, you're trolling me. You know that Meghan is the mononymous Meghan. She's the Meghan. Meghan Hilty. Unbelievable.
What about Meghan Williams, the Instagram star, or Meghan Mace, a pop star, or Meghan Guthrie, a YouTube star, TikTok star? This is the
what
worst
Meghan
website.
What about Meghan the Stallion? What about Meghan?
Yeah, what about Meghan the
Reynolds?
Stallion?
What about Meghan Reynolds?
Yeah, what if I said, what's going on? Did you hear the news about Meghan? I said, yeah, what's happening with our friend Meghan Reynolds?
You wouldn't think that.
Try me. Okay.
Okay. You're listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619 Who Then. Vibe check.
Obviously,
pissed.
Vibe's
fighting.
Good.
We're fighting.
Obviously, vibe is much better than it was Monday, I gotta say. Vibe
the
on Monday.
Vibe was awful. This vibe is fine.
That's because Bobby's two pieces came out on the same day. Notice that. Did you guys read them?
That was fun.
Did you read his book review and his cover story, quote unquote, digital cover story for The Cut?
I write book reviews now. Yeah, you can read my profile of the Darius Marshall of Cheer on The Cut.
Yeah,
headline vibes. Is raw, raw bitches. I didn't write it.
It's a good head. I think it's kind of good.
It's
though.
A good. No, it's a good head. It's a good head.
But I think there's. It's like that's
great
like the
photos. Beautiful photos.
Yeah, great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the yeah, photos vibe, are vibes gorgeous. Better. Vibes better. Yeah. Vibes more upbeat. We're it's Thursday. Another week is almost done. I feel accomplished about this. Weirdly.
Yes. I do too.
Like, I feel,
like, this week we did stuff.
Yeah. No, but I also just feel like every week that ends, I'm like, that was an accomplishment to me. Because we did it. Like, that's...
Because we did it.
Because time passing is now as an accomplishment as whatever you get done during the day. Honestly, you get nothing done during the day. It's still an accomplishment to pass the day because it's a challenge to be restricted.
I know. So, I finally understand Unchained Melody. I get it. I get it. I'm going to watch Ghost again and be like, yep.
Exactly.
Time does move by so fucking slowly.
But it's an accomplishment versus just a slog. So I think when the week ends, I feel there's like a perspective shift where I feel like, wow, like that's crazy that it's been 3 weeks since I really left the house. Okay. Can we please move on? Let's get to like our thing.
Just like staring out the window. Let's just... My fucking neighbors. My neighbors who refuse. And I understand that it's quarantine and that you shouldn't be buying non-essential stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, now is the time for curtains.
You should buy them curtains. You gotta buy them curtains.
It's been so long. And I know they've lived in that apartment for years because I've checked the street easy. I know they moved in like, 2016.
What if you put up a little sign on your window that said, curtains? Seriously, just curtains?
But I can't keep talking about my neighbors. Let's listen to calls. We got some comments. Let's start with this one. In time. Goes by so slowly, and time can do so much.
Hi, I just would like to let you know that Kim Kardashian's LLC is actually Kim the Princess. That's it. That's pretty much all I have to say. So, crunch, crunch, bye.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. So, a lot of those articles about Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard actually listed the name of their LLC. It's called Pringus Property LLC, P-R-I-N-G-U-S. So I Googled what the word Pringus means, and Urban Dictionary brought up that it's a term that means asshole, but it's video game slang, and it's typically directed at somebody who's shooting you. Kind of like, you know, if someone sucks and they're a noob, I guess if someone's attacking you, they're a Pringus. So I can't say I'm surprised that they would choose something cheeky like that. And of course, like, probably the antithesis of what we otherwise would have predicted, like sunshines and rainbows. But, yep, there you go. Pringus Property. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Kim's a Princess. I remember that from Kardashian. Kim's a Princess.
Kim's a Princess, Inc. And she did it in 2007.
Kim's a Princess. I mean...
But it's all one word. Kim's a Princess, Inc. Chloe's is Clomani. But then there was also Clomar whenever she was with Lamar.
She had a Clomar?
Do you know what Courtney's is?
No.
Two, the number two. To die for, the number four, court. To die for, court.
Do they think these are vanity plates? I'm so confused. I guess maybe they are vanity plates, essentially.
Kylie's is King Kylie LLC, which I feel like we knew. And you know what Kendall's is? Can you guess what Kendall's is?
Kenny Corp.
Kendall Jenner, Inc.
Kendall's the only smart one. Once again, Kendall's like, I'm not engaging with this.
I'm not doing this. I tried to find like ultimate lists of celebrity LLCs, but I feel like for the most part, they don't just put them out there.
We got to make our out there own for some reason. List. I wonder if a lot of them are purpose, because like those Kardashian ones are obviously clearly them, but I'm sure a lot of the LLC names for celebrities are kind of obtuse for a reason, like to keep you from knowing there.
Yeah.
That it's them behind the thing. Whatever. That's something someone else can dig into. Or we can, but we did not for today.
I did find this. This is funny. When Jennifer Aniston purchased a new penthouse in New York, this is from 2011, it was reportedly under, quote, Norman's Nest Trust. Norman was the actress's beloved terrier corgi mix that died recently at age 15. So you can buy things through trusts. You can buy things through your LLCs. I mean, it's like there are so many options here. Brittany and Kevin Federline's house was bought under the Love Shack Trust.
Oh my God. That's almost romantic.
It's almost. That describes their relationship. Okay, next call.
Lindsay, I cannot believe that you hooed Max Eric, and we all literally heard you on a podcast with him in 2016. What are you doing?
I'm going to play a clip here of Lindsay talking to Max Ehrlich.
I am so excited because we've got two amazing, sensual, beautiful, stunning, blowing my mind in every single way guests. So today we have Max Ehrlich.
What's up?
And Lindsay Weber. Yes. Yay. Wow. This is so exciting.
You got it.
You two, I feel like you guys are going to be like a peanut butter jelly, peanut butter chocolate situation.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Like a magical mix.
All right.
That I'm going to be eating constantly.
Like a cinnamon swirl in it.
Oh, you guys are such a cinnamon swirl right now. I love it.
Okay. Lindsay, you know Max Ehrlich. How dare you forget him?
I don't know him. I met him.
You're
doing
friends with him.
A podcast. See, the thing is that here's my like admission as to, not that he was forgettable. Okay, he was totally forgettable, but like, he did not come up again since 2016 for me. Like, I did that podcast in 2016, right? It's been 4 years, right? And sorry, like, I'm sure he's been busy, but like, his name has not come up in my life since then. And all I do is look at celebrity bullshit. So you'd think like this would be somebody who I would see, right? I would see his name. And I look at all different types of celebrity bullshit, not just like whatever. But like he hasn't come up at all. And so this was the first time. So I completely forgot. And even all of his credits and looking at his face did not jog the memory.
I'm so disappointed in you. I'm also disappointed in myself for not remembering every podcast you've ever been on.
What other Yeah, I mean, we've been on a few podcasts. I do remember doing podcasts. Like, and also that podcast is a great one. It's the,
This Week Had Me Like.
This Week Had Me Like. Sorry, it's a long name.
Caroline, and, the Caroline, Goldfarb.
Yeah, Caroline. And it's coming back, and I was going to do it again, and whatever, scheduling got messed up thanks to you know what, and I didn't end up doing it while I was in Los Angeles, but it's a great pod. It's so fun, and I loved being on it, and it's just so funny that this was the guy that I was on it with, and now he's dating Demi Lovato.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Postmates driver. I love the OSPI framework. I think you should call it the OPIS, like OPIS, and then you can have your magnum opus, the Who's magnum opus. Women don't belong in balloons.
I think that's just really smart, just moving the letters around. We called it OSPI. And she was like, no, call like it an opus. I love it.
It's our it's our magnum opus, but it's spelled OPIS.
Mr.
Well, you know, somebody suggested we add nepotism to it, so it could be called, we could nopis.
But I feel like nepotism is not a desirable thing. It's almost more impressive if you're not nepotism, so we should probably leave it out.
Because
you're
thinking of this as an award, not as like a checklist. Yeah. Because you
like,
want...
Like an EGOT. It's something that you worked hard for. It's something you earned. And nepotism...
If you check out the Facebook group, they have a... Somebody started an amazing... doc that has the opus written out, and then people are filling in the opus for different celebs and seeing who has won the opus.
God bless a hooligan who loves spreadsheets. Truly. I love it.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I heard you guys talking about Alexa Chung. I feel like you are remiss to not mention her American stint as the host of It's On with Alexa Chung on MTV. It was supposed to be a TRL replacement back in 2008, 2009, and it was actually really good. She was very quirky and had tons of personality and would have celebrities and whatnot on, but then would do weird things like mini golf on TV or like dress up in weird costumes, and that's actually where I found out about her and thought she was like super charming and kept following her. But I would say her book is really bad. Anyways, ScarJo Yummy Pop. Bye.
saying her book is really bad reminded me of, so after our episode went up, my friend Ben texted me and was like, these are my favorite Alexa Chung quotes.
Oh, because he's British. He's British. Yeah. If you're British, you're definitely more familiar.
Oh, yeah. Sent me a photo of a magazine that he had circled. Like, this is not like a screenshot from a website. He sent me, you know, his research, his file on Alexa Chung.
Right.
And one of them was, I kind of wish I was gay. It would make life so much easier, she says. I have like a million girl mates I would love to date. And he's like, she grins. Okay. And then this is a quote from her book that this caller said is bad. Lolita is my favorite book. She's also my favorite character to reference when getting dressed in summer months. Obviously, this look is age dependent, but until people start throwing Rotten Tomatoes at me in the street, it's an inspiration I'm willing to plunder. I love her heart-shaped glasses. Heart-shaped glasses. So cool. Also the hot pants and crop blouse combo. The matchy-matchy bikini with high-waisted shorts. Pigtails. It can look ridiculous if you're under 16 or over 25, but I'm willing to keep paying tribute to this limby literary icon.
Wait, I love that, like, it's not just a quick quote, a thought. It's like a thought-through thought, like, that keeps on going.
It's a paragraph. It's a paragraph about how much she loves Lolita. I love dressing like her. Imagine that's your take. Like, you close Lolita and you're like, I loved her style.
Okay.
Oh, honey. I'm going straight to ASOS. Okay. Next call.
Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I just discovered that Jason Derulo's real name, well, his real name is Jason Derulo, but it is spelled D-E-S. R-O-U-L-E-A-U-X. All right. Live in La Vida Laptop. Bye.
Live in La Vida Laptop is back. Yeah, I didn't know this. How did I not know this? Lindsay says she knew this. I didn't know this.
He's from New Orleans, right?
Derulo. Jason Derulo.
Yeah, he's from New Orleans.
Oh, his parents were Haitian. Okay, wait. He's from Florida, grew up in New Orleans. His parents are Haitian.
The reason this comes up is because he says his own name so much that it's like, what is Derulo? Where did that come from? And then you take one step and you find out it's Derulo, which is beautiful.
Okay, so Lindsay Bobby, y'all just talking about Ellen Barkin, but y'all did not mention that when she was married to Ron Perlman, he gave her divorce papers, and then so she sold all the jewelry that she had given him in an auction very publicly in 2006, and it was super funny, and I think they even made fun of it on an episode of Sex and the City, but I can't really remember. But anyway, yeah, she sold all of her jewelry that he had given her because she was like, these are not the memories I want to wear, which was super iconic of Ellen Barkin because she kind of comes across as like kind of a bitch. But in a great way. But anyway, crunch, crunch.
Oh my God, that's so First Wives Club.
It's really First Wives Club. So there's a great New York Times story called Ellen Unloads from September 2006.
Ellen Unloads.
And it says, Miss Barkin, 52, has chosen an equally public denouement by putting up for auction the extravagant jewelry that Mr. Perlman lavished on her, having decided to part with more than 100 pieces valued at $15 million, a symbolic and literal purging of the union.
Oh, yeah.
These are just not memories I want to wear out every day,
Miss
Barkin
said. Do you see this gorgeous jewelry?
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
I found another article about, they have all the different pieces. She had a beautiful...
A lot of jade, not jade, emerald.
Yeah, the apricot diamond ring, a colored diamond thread ring by Jar. Oh my God, it's like gorgeous, dark, orangey browned diamond. And it says that it did inspire a scene from Sex and the City, the movie, when Kim Cattrall is like, they're all at the auction and she bids on the flower ring from the divorcee who, you know that, whatever. Yeah. You can put a clip here if you want. That's incredible. I did not know that. I did not know that story. Wow.
She ascribed the recent upturn in her career to luck and the generosity of the movie's Ocean's 13, the movie's director, Steven Soderbergh, and one of its producers, Jerry Weintraub. She was sitting on the beach at a friend's vacation house after her divorce, Miss Barkin recalled, mulling over her own contribution to the failure of her marriage, when her phone rang. It was Jerry asking, how are you doing? I said, not so good, she recalled, her eyes welling. He said, quote, you're going to feel better in about 30 seconds. You're the female lead in Ocean's 13. So she was like, I hate my life. My husband is divorcing me. But guess what? She's the female lead in Ocean's 13.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Just listening to this week's Who's There, and Tommy Dorfman and Andy Dorfman of The Bachelorette fame are cousins. Okay, bye.
I was like, I gotta fact check this, and fortunately I found my way to Bustle.com, and the headline, Andy Dorfman is related to Tommy Dorfman from 13 Reasons Why, and their interactions on social media are too cute. And then I was like, I gotta see the interactions, but the Instagrams have since been deleted. So there is...
Welp, and you gave up there.
There is a tweet. There is a tweet from Andy Dorfman that says, ah, so freaking proud of you, at Tommy Dorfman, at 13 Reasons Why. So, okay.
Who Andy Dorfman is a bachelor person. She was the Bachelorette a few seasons ago. She was like,
yes,
the New York. I think she's a lawyer. I forget. But I did like her. I do remember, but I forget her. She was on the Juan Pablo season, and then she was on the next season, and she picked a guy who she ended up dumping.
Do you want to know how they're related?
Yeah.
After Andy Dorfman tweeted that tweet about 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
A random person responded, at Andy Dorfman, do you watch 13 Reasons Why? Is Tommy Dorfman your cousin? If so, that's amazing. Prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands. And Tommy responded, yes, we are related.
Wait, so do you...
Yes, we are related. Yes.
That's the confirmation?
It works, yeah.
All right, well, I guess they're related.
Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories in
Any
the family.
Good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
On March 25th, 2020, Michelle Trachtenberg wrote on Instagram, "So, my friend dared me to do something I'm afraid of while hashtag social distancing. That would be a video of me singing, with no makeup, showing off my blonde eyebrows and eyelashes. I'm chillaxing during this quarantine. Catching up on cleaning, organizing and working / writing from home. If you're going to say something nasty in the comments because you don't like my messing up singing of June Carter's song, fuck off. This is me being brave and vulnerable as we all are doing at this time. Now please excuse me, I'm late to make my boxed mac and cheese lunch. Red heart cheese wedge and yes, I have secret dimples. Winking face with tongue.
I got hands. And you got hands. Let's not get together, but wash those hands. Let's go social distancing. Crunch, crunch.
She was playing off of this June Carter Cash and Carl Smith song called Time's a Wasting. I'll play a clip here.
Now I've got arms.
And I've got arms. Let's get together and use those arms. Let's go. Time's a wasting.
Turning time's a wasting into social distancing is so brutal. It's so tough and it's rough tough. And awful.
It's rough. It's tough. It's rough. It's tough.
I've got hands and you've got hands. Let's not get together, but wash those hands. Let's go social distancing.
I was like, oh, we should talk about Michelle Trachtenberg. And then I looked at Michelle Trachtenberg and I was like, there's nothing to say about Michelle Trachtenberg.
Nothing?
Nothing. I tried. Her Instagram is weird. Her Instagram feels lost in time. Like, it's truly an outlet for her. Like, there's a lot of selfies and filters and just gabbing and Flashback Friday.
She's got it's, a is this gonna be rude to be like, this is gonna sound, this is gonna come off so rude though, but this caption has a very early Lindsay Lohan vibe. Just like, too much, no one's mad at you, over explainy, but also like someone who's very like, Throwback Thursday is every day of my life, you know, because all people do is reference like old characters that I played, you know, to me, and it's and it's making me crazy.
She is just like your prototypical bored child star.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff gets, I don't know, exacerbated whenever you are in quarantine. Like, it's just very weird. Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
I do love early Michelle Trachtenberg work. Like, I loved Harriet the Spy.
Harriet the Spy.
She's great on Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't watch Gossip Girl, but I believe it.
Take my word for it.
That is the first time we've played a call where someone used text to speech to call in, which I find very fun. And
but
like,
we will probably never do again, so don't just do it.
It's funny. It's funny
again.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I am taking a quarantine walk, and I just had to call you guys and tell you that this morning I saw that Bindi Irwin got married yesterday in a rush. They were planning their wedding for a year. Then this COVID stuff happened and they wanted to have an actual wedding before they had to cancel it. So they got married yesterday at an empty Australia zoo with, I think, literally no one there except maybe brother and mom and parents. But yeah, so that's probably one of the least boring things Bindi has done in a while. She's also really precious, and I'm happy she got to get married and she was safe about it because there was like no one there. So yeah, good form, Bella Thorne. Crunch crunch. Women don't belong in balloons. Me and Grace.
Finding out the details on the People magazine cover story of, you know, chronicling Bindi Irwin's wedding, I was no longer mad for the reasons that this person brought up.
Well,
there were
Bindi
like three people.
Is
there.
Precious. She is precious. Mm-hmm. She's a national. She's a beloved treasure? National treasure. But I was watching the live stream. Okay, there was a live stream of this wedding, which I don't even understand how or why. Was it a drone that was filming it? Who was filming it? There was a live stream of the set of this wedding, and I watched the beginning of it. And there were people around setting up stuff. It wasn't three people. Or whatever.
Guests, though. I think it may have just been the staff.
So there was still staff putting stuff together. There was still stuff. I don't really understand. I'm sure they want it to be like, oh, it was so safe. It was so da-da-da. But, like, there was staff running around, like, doing stuff. So I don't really know.
The true safe version would have been, like, you know, do it another time or just literally don't have the wedding, you know? Just do it in your house with the people you're quarantining with.
Do you think People magazine was like, we will pay you to do this wedding?
That's what I was going to say.
We need a cover that's not COVID-19.
I was going to ask you the same question because this wedding was planned for later. So this wedding could not have been on the cover of this particular week. So maybe they were like, maybe they already had a deal to do an exclusive, you know, a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
That was like long out. And they were like, let's just push this up. I don't know, maybe. And also these photos, we don't know for certain that these photos were taken on their wedding day, you know?
Good point.
These photos could have been taken, they could have been people exclusives taken a month ago.
Good point.
You know? So there's really no way to know, but there are some good details. One of them is On March 25th, the crikey, it's the Irwin star, 21, and Powell, 23, exchanged I do's, I love that, in an intimate ceremony attended by, quote, lots of animals and just three guests, Bindi's mom, Terry, her younger brother, Robert, and her late father's best friend, Wes Mannion.
So
even
no,
if it wasn't by the book perfect.
What was Steve Irwin's sexy niece's name?
Oh, Rebecca Lobie.
Rebecca Lobie. Okay, so Rebecca Lobie was not there, confirmed.
Crikey, Steve Irwin's hot niece Rebecca Lobie flaunts her curves in a tiny red swimsuit amid self-isolation. This is from yesterday.
Crikey!
So she's still making headlines.
Cool.
What else happened with Bindi Irwin's wedding?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like I support Bindi Irwin's happiness, and I love this, you know, she's a national treasure, and this is all very nice. I do suspect that People Magazine was like, you gotta have this wedding right now. We need mm-hmm. to put this on the cover because we're running out of stuff to put. I mean, they'll never really run out of stuff to put on the cover, but like, you know what I mean? Like, this was a big one mm-hmm. for them, this exclusive.
Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say was Animal Planet is on Discovery, Inc. This story ends with this line. Crikey, it's the Irwins, Bindi's wedding special, premieres April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Animal Planet. Animal Planet is a subsidiary of Discovery, Inc. And Discovery, Inc. and People Magazine, they have a really like long-standing relationship. So that helps explain
here's my
some of it as well.
Wait, so here's my other question to you. Sorry. We're saying like, oh, we got to get this on the cover. But also if they filmed it for a wedding premiere, a wedding special, there also probably was a contract in place for that.
For that, yeah. Yeah. They just pushed it up.
They needed to have this wedding so they could film it so they get it on TV. Also, my question is, what about the people who were filming it, who were taping it, the cameraman and all that? Like, I just
don't... They needed to do the show. They needed to do the cover. They needed to move it up because of, contracts.
But you're telling me that four people were at this wedding? Sorry. Way more than four people were at this wedding. If it was mm-hmm. shot for TV, if it had any type of food or setting up or tables or whatever, I saw those people running around setting those things up on the live stream. I don't know what that mm-hmm. live stream... I don't know how, like, valid that live stream was, but I'm pretty sure that was it. And so I don't know, this like quote unquote very small intimate wedding is mm-hmm. more of a production than I think we're being told by this article.
Oh, for sure. But at least they did do it before the stay at home order. Like they did do it.
They
correctly
didn't
but
get
they really
in
shouldn't have done
trouble,
it.
Yeah. But to yeah. sneak under the line is what they're trying to do is a little mm-hmm. intense. Anyways, okay.
Hi, Who Weekly. First time, long time. Can you please talk about Leslie Jordan, because I don't really know who he is and I don't really feel like looking it up, but he's making really great quarantine content over on his Instagram. Thanks. Livin' La Vida Laptop.
Livin' La Vida Laptop. I love that
who
that's
is
back
Leslie
officially.
Jordan.
Leslie Jordan is a character actor known for being extremely Southern, extremely like flamboyant
gay.
Like extremely gay, just like the gayest voice,
he's
the
so
gayest
cute.
attitude, he's cute, he's cute as cute could be. A lot of people knew him because of Will and Grace. I didn't watch Will and Grace, so this didn't mean anything to me, but
oh yeah, he was so good in Will and Grace. That's probably how I know him.
Lately he was in The Help as Emma Stone's boss at the newspaper. Ryan Murphy loves him. He's been in a lot of American Horror Stories. But he's a TV character. Like, he appears on every single show as like.
But
a
what
small
we're
role
talking
in, like,
about
one million
is his Instagram. He's been doing Instagram stories, yes. And they're very funny and cute. And I'm glad he's like getting attention from people who don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really nothing to say about him, really.
Basically, he's just a delightful character actor who, I guess, if you follow him, you've known he does this kind of front-facing video diary content for a long time, but now he's had a spike in them because it's gotten truly deranged because he's stuck at home with his mother. I believe
he is?
In Tennessee. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And so I think he went to go be with her
uh-huh.
so that she wouldn't be alone. That's sort of how it seems. So I made a supercut of all the videos he's made since going down to be home with his mom.
Of course
he makes he has like hundreds of videos, but I've only did the ones in the past like 3 weeks since he's been under quarantine. And here's the fun supercut. I'll play it here.
How old is he? If his mom is 84, how old is he?
He's 64. No, okay. He's 64. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, shit. Well, shit. Well, I'm here making enough chicken salad for an army of one. She had given me a tab of ecstasy. You snorted a gram. And we got put in jail.
And the other co-star was Miss Betty White. It was George Clooney that did it. Bryce Dallas Howard, she's very organized. I can see forgetting me, but Allison Janney. Look at that episode on Boston Legal. My mother hollering up the steps asking me who I'm talking to. I'm talking to my friends, Mama. Quit bothering me.
Okay, that's Leslie Jordan.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I just watched Outbreak with Renee Russo, and I'm wondering what's up with her. Where's she been? She seems in my mind almost like a Laura Dern, but Laura Dern is like out here or in there. but where's Renee Russo? Thanks, Crunch Crunch.
Can I like address the Laura Dern comparison? I feel like mm-hmm. the Laura Dern comparison isn't quite right because Laura Dern had almost had a late in career resurgence, but didn't ever mm-hmm. leave. And Renee Russo had this thing where she like left and came back and mm-hmm. had a resurgence and is a little bit older than Laura Dern. So Renee Russo came back and got parts that, or Laura Dern would be able to get parts that Renee Russo couldn't get when she came back. She had to like mm-hmm. take some parts that were for older women or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So it's not quite the right comparison, although I'm trying to think of what the right comparison would be. Renee Russo mm-hmm. is like definitely working. I just feel like maybe you don't come across her. She's not getting the roles that are like getting her the attention since maybe Nightcrawler as maybe other actresses are older actresses are getting.
Yeah. She got a little bit of attention for Velvet Buzzsaw, but that was just like some Netflix movie that people like kind of ignored.
Right. Not really.
They were like, cause it was, well, the main thing is cause it was the same. She was like reconnecting with the director of Nightcrawler and it was like, oh cool. Like they're going to make another thing.
And the director of Nightcrawler
is her husband. Isn't
yeah. It's her husband. Right. And it's like, that's the whole thing is like her husband makes good movies and she's in them.
Mm-hmm. So she kind of disappeared after like a very, very active and cool 90s. Then she came back and she's in things, but just like not as many high profile things. And she's also more of a supporting role in those things.
Yes.
You know, like it makes sense that you've stopped paying attention to her.
You know, actually who I would compare her to is Andie MacDowell. In a weird way.
Yeah.
Like Andie MacDowell yeah. was like a huge thing, left, came back, has like sporadic roles in cool stuff where she's really good,
cool
like
stuff.
Magic Mike 2. And like she mm-hmm. when she does stuff, you're like, wow. But nothing that's like.
She had a sort of like not quite an Oscar play, but like she was in like a cool movie that she was in with Chris O'Dowd.
This is Love or The Love
Movie. This is. Yeah. And she was naked in it. And it was like, wow, she's like 60 something and naked. Like this is cool. And she was very, very good in it.
You know what Renee Russo was so good in, though? The Intern. She's really
well. The fucking annoying thing about the Intern is that she's good. She's the masseuse in the Intern.
Right. She's so
and
good.
Then her character is just like her character just goes
drops.
Away.
I know she. I know. She
they introduce her and it's like, oh, this rules, and then she just goes away.
She gives him a boner and it's like, whoa.
She gives
and then
a boner.
Like it's good somehow. Like the, for some reason they're able to get beyond that terrible gag, and then she just disappears. Well, doesn't at the
well,
end?
Well, the Intern
she's
is
there.
One of the Intern is one of the rare movies that makes a boner into like a very sweet moment.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like it's I don't know true. How she did it, but like in the Intern, a boner is
it's
like,
true.
Oh, Robert De Niro has it's a boner.
True. It's true. It's like Nancy saw like Superbad or something and was like, like a boner. Seems like a good thing I should put in my movie as like comedy, but then somehow made it her own, in which it's not very funny. It's also it's kind of just sweet. Okay, Renee Russo. Things I didn't know about Renee Russo: that she's bipolar, and she revealed it on a taping of the Queen Latifah show, RIP that talk show. Just a weird mm-hmm. moment. This was when she was on with Jake Gyllenhaal when they were promoting Nightcrawler, which is an amazing movie. They said Queen Latifah asked them to discuss something that they've had to push through to take their lives one step further. And she just goes, bipolar medication. Everybody was like, what? Mm-hmm. So she was so that's a whole thing. And then I guess she's trending now because like this caller said, people are watching Outbreak, a great movie, which I actually have not watched recently. I'm a little bit terrified to watch it, to be honest.
No, you can watch Outbreak. You can't watch Contagion.
Well,
Contagion
I've seen Contagion 12 times already. You know, Contagion's in my mind.
Contagion is like, this is too real. Outbreak is ridiculous. Outbreak is ridiculous. We actually watched it fairly recently as well, like within the last year. And it's like, it's so silly. Also, the Outbreak is within,
good?
Is in a very... It's really cheesy. It's very dumb.
It's really funny that it's like the two movies that people are like running to watch or whatever are Outbreak and Contagion. Those are the two. We have no, that's it. We have no better. So, you know, it's just weird. The references, the pop culture references that
I'm going to watch Safe again this week. Have you seen Safe, the Julianne Moore movie? It's great.
No.
I have it on Blu-ray.
What is
it's,
Safe?
It's Todd Haynes.
What's it about?
It's about Julianne Moore as this like Orange County, like...
Wait, but does it have anything to do with this?
Or housewife.
Are you just saying what you're going to watch this weekend? Why are we bringing this up then?
Like, it's about sickness. It's about this woman who is like, I'm sick. I'm getting so sick. And everyone's like, you're crazy. It's all in your head. And it's like her trying to figure out why, what's making her sick? Is the sickness real? Is it all in her head? And she's so rich. And so it's like she's going to all these doctors and she's going to all these wellness retreats. But it was made in like the mid-90s.
Interesting. Okay.
There's like a fibromyalgia angle to it, or like Morgellons angle to it, where people don't believe that you're actually sick.
Like more about it seems more about autoimmune deficiency. What is it? Autoimmune.
Yes.
Disorders. The other thing I learned about Rene Russo via like Rene Russo researching was BuzzFeed wrote a pseudo profile of her. Adam B. Vary wrote it when she was in Nightcrawler and doing press for it, and revealed that she owns cows. So she's saying, you know, he's asking what happened to you when you went away from Hollywood, what did you do? And she said, I wanted to educate myself a bit. I probably watched 2,000 documentaries on the history of various places. It was so exciting. Okay. So she educated herself, and then she worked with the Department of Water and Power because they were in the middle of a drought, California. Mm-hmm. So she worked with them and helped them, blah, blah, blah. Literally, this she says, blah, blah. Then I started a business, White Cow Dairy. I have 40 cows, upstate New York. I have the coolest farmer friend. He's great. He used to be an advertiser. Okay, so she's talking about how they make the best yogurt in America or something.
In America.
And I go to whitecowdairy.com, still exists. And yes, I have no evidence to believe it doesn't, but they only sell it at the little store that they have. And I sense that it's like Renee gave some startup money to her friend who has cows, you know, and like he mm-hmm. has, he deals with mm-hmm. the cows.
Makes a little money off of it.
And I don't know if maybe Renee gets some free yogurt or something. She loves cows.
Oh, did you see this? You know where the cows live? Blue Hill Farm.
Oh, so it's a farm within a farm.
Fancy. You know Blue Hill. Blue Hill's like one of the fanciest restaurants
right,
in
so
New York.
Right, so the farm is within the restaurant. So the farm uh-huh. provides it's the restaurant with
farm.
Dairy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. So I bet if like Blue Hill probably pays a lot of money for that yogurt and that milk and any of those dairy
right,
products. They probably make butter out of it.
Which uh-huh. is why it's only sold in this like little store up there. Maybe one day I'll get Rene Russo's dairy, but today's not that day.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, you know, really quick thing though, before we move on from Rene Russo, we don't want to watch Contagion documentaries, like pandemic documentaries or pandemic, you know, fiction, but you do want to watch some Rene Russo, turn on The Thomas Crown Affair. It's so good. Just realizing, like, I need to rewatch Thomas Crown Affair because it's amazing and she's incredible in it. This is by no, it's not one of, it's like, it's not underrated. Everyone loves The Thomas Crown Affair, but like, watch The Thomas Crown Affair. It fucking rules. Okay, next call.
I am begging you guys, please, can you talk about the video that just came out of Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello walking extremely slowly so the paparazzi can get pictures of them while in quarantine? It's just chef's kiss. Like, it is amazing. Women don't belong in balloons.
Why were they... Somebody asked me why they were walking so slowly, and my answer I gave was that I think
paparazzi.
That they were back... Well, they were like... They were walking slowly because they didn't want to... They were trying to keep their distance from the paparazzi, right?
I mean, it's either they were walking solely because they were trying to keep their distance from the paparazzi, or they wanted to make sure the paparazzi's got good shots. That's what the caller's arguing, and I think I agree with that. Because it's like they wanted
to
make sure.
Because of coronavirus, they were like trying to like keep safe distance from them.
No, I don't think so.
There was also
I think they were trying to make sure the paparazzi, you know, got the shot. You know, didn't get a blurry image.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll go really slow over here. You'll get a pic. The pics of them have been crazy.
Funny. They've been funny.
I just love this E headline. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello have never been more relatable on their painfully slow stroll. Relatable because they look like shit?
it's also, you're right. How is it relatable that they're walking slow? Like, there's nothing relatable about a celebrity couple that's, you will not convince me that they're actually in love. Maybe they're like buddies now because, sure, you know, they've been asked to do this. Yeah. I bet they're extremely close, but it's like nothing about this, like, extremely, I don't know, allegedly manufactured relationship walking slowly outside of their mansion while being photographed by the paparazzi is relatable.
Well,
none of that is.
Speaking of walking outside and being popped by the paparazzi, every single day we're getting new banana photos. And there was a little bit of a viral moment where somebody got them on TikTok and then wrote in the comments. I mean, you take this with a grain of salt. Obviously, it's not true or whatever.
That it's not confirmed, yeah.
He saw her pull out a phone and call the paparazzi and say, okay, we're ready. And then seven paparazzi jumped out of a van and took photos of them and then went away.
Well, did you see this headline from 2 hours ago? I'm texting it to you.
From
now,
2 hours ago?
I'd like you to read it.
Okay. I'm ready. Ben Affleck, quote, would love to have a baby with his girlfriend, Ana de Armas. What the
They are
fuck?
Moving this forward.
Slow it down.
It's from a source.
Slow it
says,
down.
Ben loves children and loves being a dad, a source exclusively reveals in the new issue of Us Weekly. He would love to have kids with her one day.
I'm telling you, I think that he's very into it and she is calling the paparazzi and being like, we're ready.
I still think like this
we
is not.
We haven't even seen the movie. We don't know about the chemistry.
Yeah. So they need to do this for the movie. When the movie comes out, they will be at the premieres together.
Who knows
blah, blah,
when.
Blah, 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 blah. But I still think...
Who knows when that movie's
coming
out.
And because I'm crazy, because I've, you know, celebrity culture and celebrity news has rotted my brain.
Uh-huh.
I still think this is him trying to get Jennifer Garner back, that this is all going to end with them breaking up and her being like, you know, Ana de Armas is going to be like, I love my time with him. He's such a sweet man. But like I was growing older and like we grew
apart.
Yeah, that's
true.
And then he is going to... fall back in love with Jennifer. Well, he never fell out of love with Jennifer Garner, in my estimation.
Okay.
But they're going to move back into each other.
Okay. Okay.
This is all the
plan.
So
do you think, here's my question. Do you think
he's trying to bait her.
Just listen. Do you think him saying like, he loves kids. He loves his kids. It's more just like a message to Jennifer Garner. It's like, he doesn't want to have kids with Ana de Armas. He just wants his kids back.
Lindsay, that's what I am saying. That is exactly what I am saying.
So this article is actually just like manipulation to be like, Jen, like, are you jealous? But also, I love my kids. Because she's going to go, aw, like, he does love his kids.
Like, Shookus was, like, a true rebound. He was, like, depressed, blah, blah, blah. Ana de Armas is, like, pointed. Ana de Armas is, like, I want Jen's attention.
Right. I saw some article that's, like, Jen Garner says that, like, Ana de Armas isn't ready to, like, meet the kids. And it's, like, yeah, no one can meet anyone, like...
You can't meet the
kids. No one's meeting anyone right now. There's no meeting. No, stop meeting. Enough with the meeting. Okay, can we?
I just want them to get back together.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about so many celebrity couples, but for some reason, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, it's like, I need them to get back together.
I know. It's like it's very weird, honestly. It's
I
weird.
Do
like,
not
I
care.
Hope it. I
see
it.
Even you're like, I want them to get back together.
No,
you're being
I
ridiculous,
really,
but I want it to happen.
I mean, I like Ben Affleck, but I think this is a relationship in which he's more engaged than his partner. Banana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we go to the next one, please?
Next call. Looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that... you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh,
dishwasher.
I need a dishwasher. I can't live without
dishwasher.
A dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want. And Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Hey, Bobby. I have a question. Who is Molly Shannon? I know she's someone, but I don't know who. And also her Instagram handle is at the official superstar. Do we know why? What does that mean? Is she someone or something? I don't. Oh, no. Crunch, crunch.
Now that we've heard a call from an 18-year-old, let's get a call from a 35-year-old.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. Who is Charlie D'Amelio? Thanks. Bye.
Lindsay very rightfully called these our audience in two examples. People who don't know who Molly Shannon is. Like young people and people who don't know who Charli D'Amelio is.
You can't know who, if you know who both of them are, you're us and no one else. Yeah. Like if you know who both these people are, you have a problem, a huge problem, right?
Or yeah, you're on the internet too much. It's in some way your job to know about these sorts of things.
Yes, you're like a pop culture reporter for us.
Yes.
Just kidding. Just for anyone.
Molly Shannon, iconic 90s Saturday Night Live star. The reason she has superstar in her bio is because she, one of her most famous Saturday Night Live characters is Mary Catherine Gallagher, star of the movie Superstar, because that was her catchphrase, one of her catchphrases. A TV movie obsessed teen who
it is went to funny a that if you Catholic just school. Read I'm a super, the original superstar, you'd be like, what?
You'd be like, what? Yeah. Charli D'Amelio is the most followed person on TikTok. She's a TikTok star. She's the most followed person on TikTok. That's it.
Yeah. She's kind of the emblematic TikTok dancer, I would say, because TikTok has many different forms. Many people do many different types of things on TikTok that are popular, but the most popular thing on TikTok are dances that spread. And Charli is like the most popular dancer, right? Mm-hmm. She dances on TikTok. And now she's become bigger than that because, of course, if you become famous on a platform that old people don't understand, you end up getting even more popular because they're like, the whole thing is they want to figure it out and have you on The Tonight Show and da-da-da. So she was on Jimmy Fallon and I think... stuff like that. So she's already kind of broken out a little bit of the thing. But I would argue no one knows. She's not really broken out past like TikTok.
She's from Connecticut and her dad is a like a politician in Connecticut.
Oh,
and
really?
he also has a huge social media following.
Uh-huh.
And like dines out on the fact that his daughter is also famous. TikTok.
Wait, what politician so is he? What's his politician?
He's a Republican.
Well, no. Yeah.
He's never been elected, but he's like run for office, like state office. He was defeated in 2018. He was defeated in 2017.
She's also 15 years old, FYI. So just want to let you guys, in case you're wondering, she's 15 years old.
She's 15 years old. God, 43 million followers on TikTok. That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. Yeah. It's like that's, you know, when you join the platform, it's like the most popular person on the platform. A lot of people are going to follow. Right. Because that's.
Yeah. They, it's like whenever represent... you whenever it's like who to follow. Here's someone you could follow.
Right. Okay. Right. In a way.
Next. We're going to play a quick game of Who Them.
Hi, Who Weekly. Hope you're staying safe. Is Diane Kruger or Who Are Them? Thanks.
Diane Kruger. 1, 2, 3.
Who?
Bye-bye.
Like, don't hate bye-bye. Her, but... Oh.
No. No, not at all. Okay.
No!
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. Calling with a question about The Sims universe. What are the whos and thems of The Sims universe? Like, the Grim Reaper or the, like, weird neighbors or, like, any Simlish words? I am also the woman in the window with quarantine, if you can't tell. Crunch, crunch.
From the original Sims, tell me who were them.
Okay.
The Pleasant family. 1, 2, 3, who?
Who?
Yeah. Okay. The Roomies family.
Who's that?
1, 2, 3,
who?
Who? Chris and Melissa Roomie.
Who?
The Bachelor family. He lived alone. His name was Michael Bachelor.
I don't know him.
1, 2, 3,
who?
Who? Okay, the Newby family.
Who are they?
Betty and Bob Newby.
No idea.
They were the tutorial neighborhood family.
Okay, don't care.
1, 2, 3.
Who?
Who? Mortimer Goth, Bella Goth, and Cassandra Goth. One, two, three.
Them.
Them.
Those are the thems.
The thems the Goths were the only thems.
Mortimer and Bella, because they come over to introduce themselves immediately. And
come
you're
on,
like...
Nella. And Bella's always like too sexy. And you're like, you are too sexy,
well,
Bella.
The game opens up like, should you flirt with either of them? That's the game. Mm-hmm. The game is like, oh, you're going to be flirty with these people who are in a relationship, yeah. But it might be open. Oh.
Bella and Mortimer are like too sexy. And they're like, yeah, my daughter's at home. Like, what's up over here? And
okay,
you're like,
they say that in
Goths. These Goths. It's really silly to me that in the same way Clue is good.
Yeah.
There's a way to make The Sims a really good movie. And it's weird that they never did it.
It's crazy that no one has tried. First of all, we're like maybe getting a Barbie movie after so many years. We've had Barbie movies that are made by Barbie or like Barbie for children, but we've never had an adult Barbie movie. But I think the popularity of the Lego movies has started this rush to the top of like, how do we make other movies like that? Because that was such an...
But the latest Lego movie was sort of a flop. It wasn't a flop, but it was disappointing. And then they were like, well, maybe people aren't that into these. Because because of the performance of the Lego movie, I thought that that's one of the main reasons they started pushing back the Barbie movie and stuff. Because
iconic epic flop of the Playmobil movie or whatever. Remember that? That was like...
Oh, Meghan Trainor's movie.
The biggest flop of the year or whatever. One of them. I mean, but look at Trolls. Trolls is hugely popular. That's a movie that is also for children. That's not a movie for adults. Lego movie was kind of for adults.
Can you name the song Meghan Trainor wrote for the Playmobil movie?
Is it like, come up, get up, come on, get up, let's play or something? What is it?
No, it's called Run Like the River.
What? Like, let the river run?
I don't, Run Like the River. Okay.
I know, but you, okay.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
Okay.
Next call.
Hi, are the Indigo Girls a who or a them?
Hi. The most... succinct,
okay.
Like shortest,
okay.
Sweetest little call.
Okay.
Perfectly crisp.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The Indigo Girls. Who are them? One, two, three.
Them as Indigo Girls. Who as named separately? Because I could not name them for you.
I was going to ask you. Could you name
Amy?
The...
Is one named Amy?
Yeah.
And one is named like Barb or something. And they're definitely in love.
Emily.
Okay. And they're in love. And they're in love.
We don't know. I mean, they're probably in love as friends, but I don't know that they're certainly in love.
I think that they love each other. I think that they're
in love. No, because Emily is married to someone. Maybe they are in love. It's not saying they couldn't be in love with each other, but Emily is married to the former Indigo Girls tour manager, Tristan Chipman.
Oh, I thought that they literally were in a relationship with each other. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. The Indigo Girls. I know
and
that
it says. I'm reading the.
I love.
Lives.
By the way, I
the
love
of,
the Indigo Girls. I just don't know a lot about them. Okay, thank you.
I actually do. Every time I listen to the Indigo Girls, I'm like, I should get into them
Galileo
because I really
is a perfect song.
Yeah, that was like a karaoke song, karaoke fave of yours.
A big, and
so
I didn't do it
every
that
time
well,
I hear.
Every time.
When I listen to the Indigo Girls, I'm like, this rules. But I've never like really taken the time to embrace their discography, and I feel like maybe that's a quarantine activity. Just get really fucking like into Indigo Girls fandom.
You were like, when this is all over, it's like, so what did we get done? Okay, so like whatever Bobby got really into the Indigo Girls during the 2020 quarantine. How long till my soul gets it right?
Thank you for listening to Who's There. Please call in at 619 Who Them if you have any other questions, comments, concerns. Hope you're enjoying your quarantine. We're happy to be there with you while you're quarantining. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. If you feel like getting two bonus episodes a week, you also get your own secret call in line too, which is a fun thing. But anyway, have a good weekend. Enjoy Megan's elephant documentary. She worked very hard on it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
I want to be famous.
Hi. I just did an at-home Quora workout, and I just did like a random Planet Fitness video, and it turned out to be Doug the Pug doing the video.
with his owner as the instructor. Crunch, crunch.